Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. This evening we talk about the role of African liberation movements. And with us tonight, we'll be joined momentarily by my colleague, Henok Fente of Horn Service. We're also joined by regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst and is joining us by phone from Durban, South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and good evening, our listeners.
How is South Africa?
South Africa is fine.
I see. Well, as I said, you're very much welcome. As I said, we'll be joined momentarily by my colleague, Henok Fente, of VOA's Horn Service. But our topic tonight, we're talking about liberation movements. Most of these liberation movements in Africa rose to oppose the evils of oppression and segregation, mainly associated with colonialism. But Africa has continued with the dark cloud of poverty, war, and despair hovering around its skies. Now, some people have asked, was this just a change of hands? Suleiman, what do you think, your general assessment of these liberation movements?
I think for us to understand the contribution of these liberation movements, I think basically they came to fill in a gap. Some were post-independent, others are post-independent. Some of those in post-independence, some of them have fizzled out and they have been submerged in the new dispensation, because most of them were creation in the 20th century. Now we're in the 21st century. They were overtaken by events, parties like KANU in Kenya and others which were post-liberation movements, political parties. Then we have got a new generation which also got power behind the impression that they were liberating their countries from the evils that were happening in particular countries. But to get it better, I think we better look at some of those, their contribution in particular countries. And I think I can't go far away before I talk about one near to me at home here in South Africa. I think as far as liberation movements are concerned, from those which have made immense contribution towards their people, I think the ANC deserves respect from all Africans. I don't think there is anything which ANC promised to the people which it has not delivered. Mm-hmm. I can assure you, Douglas, that amongst the things which any organization, any political organization would promise people, would be a constitution, a respectable constitution which respects every citizen and which looks at giving social and economic development, democracy, social and economic development to the people. Mm-hmm. The ANC promised the same, and I can assure you, without fear, without prejudice, without fear or prejudice, that ANC has done its best. It has provided everything you can think of. First of all, it provided a constitution, a wonderful constitution, within only 2 years. Amongst that constitution, in that constitution, it has conscientized the population, and the constitution is for the people, not for the government. It is the people who implement and enjoy the constitution. It is the people who operationalize the constitution, not the government as such. Mm-hmm. Many South Africans enjoy that constitution. Bill number two, chapter number two of the constitution, is the Bill of Rights. And if you give me time, I'll explain to you how the South Africans enjoy the Bill of Rights. It is open to every citizen in this country, and every citizen is proud of the Bill of Rights within the constitution.
I see. Although some people may disagree with the praises you're heaping on ANC, but that's not dispute the fact that African founding fathers who founded these liberation movements and led them were indeed resolute. They knew what they were fighting for. It was not easy. Many were imprisoned, tortured, and even paid the ultimate price. But in the same club of these liberation movements, you mentioned ANC is a very good example. But this is the league which also included ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, Frelimo in Mozambique, SWAPO in Namibia, MPLA of Angola, Chama Cha Mapinduzi of Tanzania. Some of them have fallen by the wayside. How do you compare that to the ANC experiment?
It is very sad. If I may start, for example, from South Africa before I go to these others, to the other extreme, the other side. For example, in the Bill of Rights, Douglas, we have got all the freedoms. For example, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of association. Amongst these, let's say in the freedom of association, people have got political rights. They have got rights to form political parties. You are not restricted in South Africa. The ANC does not constrain anybody who wants to form a political party. You form a political party, you are given the same protection by the national institutions. All national institutions, let it be the electoral commission, the security institutions, the government institutions that deal with the political parties. They don't discriminate you. They allow you to form a political party. They allow you to compete with the ANC. They allow you to defeat the ANC. Over a time in South Africa, we have had power taken away from ANC so quickly. In Western Cape, one of the provinces led by a formerly white-dominated party, the DA. The KZN, where I am, KwaZulu-Natal, it was one time being led by the Inkatha Freedom Party by Buthelezi. Right now, as we talk, most of the metros, big metros, including Pretoria, where the government city is, they were taken away from ANC. They are being led by DA. Others are being led by coalition. Now, this one, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that the ANC did not liberate South Africa for its own interests. The ANC liberated South Africa to give freedom to all the citizens, and it has done so. Now, the other extreme is that much as there were some good blueprints from this organization, and they looked as if they were intending to give democracy, they were intending to give freedom and socio-economic development to the people, they have diverted. They tailored their organization to benefit the very individuals that had brought about that liberation. When you look at MPLA, has it ever changed any power? When you look in Angola, Dos Santos has just stepped down, and still he has handed over to another party member. The same in Mozambique. They have never allowed, they have made it so difficult. ZANU-PF, the original, among the original freedom fighter, Mr. Gabriel Mugabe, he has stayed in power until almost death, and he has handed over to another member of ZANU-PF. And not only because other people have not tried, other Zimbabweans have not tried, they have narrowed the space. They have never allowed them to freely canvass for office. They have tried in Zimbabwe in 2008. They won, the opposition won the election, but they refused. Not only that, within their constitution, they have put it there that unless you're a freedom fighter, you cannot rule the country. So, were these parties liberating the countries for the citizens, or they were liberating the countries for themselves? My answer is that they were liberating the countries for themselves. They have benefited themselves. That is why we see a lot of suffering in this country. Again, I'll be comparing them with the ANC of South Africa.
And then you see that has led to some people in these countries to even feel as if nothing actually changed. Even some of them have actually are now feeling worse off than they used to be.
There is no doubt about it, Douglas. What have the people benefited? Look, again, I go to South Africa. South Africa, there is, within our Bill of Rights, we have got equality. Oh, let me leave equality before I go equality. Let's say there is a chapter on the dignity, human dignity. Douglas, there is no security person, policeman or soldier who can mistreat a South African. A South African, actually some of them even try to clap the security people because the law does not allow them to manhandle a citizen. The freedom of assembly, people are allowed to demonstrate. They are not restricted. They don't give notice. They only inform the police that we are demonstrating A, B, C, D. The police does not give them permission. The police arranges to ensure that the property, the rights of others are not trampled on. Those who are in business, make sure that they are protected. Those who are on the road, to make sure that they have got right of passage within these demonstrations compared to these other countries. Then I was talking about, then I can talk about equality. Equality before the law, before all opportunities in South Africa. If there is any opportunity, it is open to all South Africans. Let it be a job. I've not heard of a job that for you to apply for a job, you ask the party card, that you have to be ANC. Of course, some few comrades can be given jobs. It is natural when you have got power to look for the manpower from within your people, but it is not a national policy. It can only, that one applies only to political positions. It doesn't permeate to the whole society down the way you could see in these countries, in Angola, in Mozambique, in Zimbabwe, in Uganda, in Ethiopia, all these places in Tanzania, all these places where the liberation movements have been there. Most of these opportunities are only narrowed up to the members. The ordinary people, if you go in Zimbabwe, you'll find that those who don't belong to ZANU-PF, they are almost excluded. Matabele land, they are excluded. No opportunities. It is marginalized almost. This goes all around within all these parties. If you go in all these countries, you'll find that there is distinct, deliberate marginalization of the group which they feel they don't belong to their own organization. So the people are justified to feel that these organizations, they have been overtaken by time. They don't see the use. And even many commentators, I would agree with many commentators who feel that it is as if they are not necessary, or it would have been better if they had not even come to the picture.
Then Suleiman, what sets us ANC apart from, because most of these other so-called revolution movements, first of all, they have trouble giving up power, the leaders. It's the same people who tried, even Tanzania, Nyerere resigned later on after some 20-some years. Our uncle in Zimbabwe has just resigned after 37. De Santos in Angola had 30-something years too. Is it the fact that Mandela was a unique leader that helped lay the ground for ANC to be different?
I've always told my brothers in South Africa here that South Africa is a lucky country. South Africa had a dream team led by actually Tambo, followed by Mandela. These are unique human beings. These are unique Africans, together with their team which they came with. Compared to the continent, I've not seen a country where you can get such patriotic people who are selfless, who who feel that they had to liberate the cities, the ordinary cities, the formerly disadvantaged human beings in the South African country. You know, number one, the Tambo and the Mandela generation, or which we can call the Dream Team, they have never been, they didn't seek the praises. They didn't want to be adored. It was a broad movement. It did not only even have black people. It was broad. It had Indians, it had whites, it had everybody. And what makes Mandela and Tambo unique is that they did not seek fame. They did not seek to be identified as the owners and the leaders of the liberation. They made it clear that the liberation was carried on by all South Africans. Because much as for them they were in leadership, much as them, they were, some of them were incarcerated in prison, they were those who were suffering day by day at the hands of the apartheid regime. Many people died. According to Mandela, those are the real liberators who faced the guns of the what? Of the apartheid regime. So he says he cannot consider himself different from the people who suffered. Others got killed, others got maimed, others were, as you saw, others were removed from their lands forcefully. So many lives were destroyed. So what makes South Africa different is that, number one, it had unique and very patriotic and humane leadership. They were not interested in power for the sake of power. They were not interested in making themselves rich.
Mm-hmm.
Mandela died as a poor man. Tambo died as a poor man. They didn't steal.
Mm.
Plus the generation, all those friends which came, those people who formed the first Mandela government, even followed by a better government. You cannot point a building. You cannot say that they have got thousands of dollars in Europe, in European banks. They never stacked man away. Mbeki, whatever money Mbeki has is the money which he earned as a president. And so many are his ministers. Whereas when you compare to these other liberation movement, they discarded the interests of the people the moment they went into power. Look at Dos Santos. The children are the richest in Africa. Look at our friends in East Africa. Look at, for example, in Uganda. Look at in Ethiopia. In Uganda, it is a family now owning the whole country. Not even the family, almost the even the opposition parties.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Being owned by the same people who claimed that they came to liberate the country, but they liberated the country for themselves.
Yeah, let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of African liberation movements and their role in Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganya in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, let's be upfront.
There's a lot to talk about.
We need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
Upfront is a show where we look at issues that affect Africa's youth,
giving you an opportunity to express yourself as you connect with other youth around the continent.
In this interconnected world, we share a destiny. So let us share our solutions to issues like unemployment,
education reform,
elections,
free speech,
and many others.
Nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table.
Absolutely nothing is off the table.
It's Upfront, Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC, Saturday at 1900 UTC,
and Sunday at 19:30 UTC.
Right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Welcome back. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. Tonight we are discussing African liberation movements and their impact on the continent. I'm here with Suleimani Mgula, a South African-based independent political analyst, and I'm Douglas Impoga in Studio 6 here in Washington. Suleiman, before we broke off for that brief break, you had begun talking about other liberation so-called movements in East Africa.
Yeah.
Now, there are two tiers of liberation movements. We know of the liberation movements that were there to fight colonialism and all that. We're talking about ZANU-PF, ANC, Frelimo. Then the second wave of liberation movements, we're talking of the NRM in Uganda, RPA in Rwanda, the one in Ethiopia, Eritrea, Sudan, or South Sudan now. These seem to be even worse than the first ones.
No doubt about them. Because, first of all, number one, they were not derived. They were not derived from political. They are not political organizations.
Yeah, these were gunmen.
These are gunmen. They are military or militias which organize themselves, and then they take advantage of the particular political situation in the country and then grab power. Unlike the post-independence liberation movement, or like this one of ANC, these were mass parties. They were political, first and foremost, they were political parties, well-organized, with structures, with platforms, with clear objectives, social, political, and economic, which are deliverable, which are touchable, and which have got programs of how they have to be implemented in case they take power. That is why in South Africa, the moment they took power, the roadmap was very clear, because there was a clear roadmap from as far as 1955. They knew what they had to do in economics. They knew what they had to do in politics. They knew. So the template was there. And every leader of ANC who comes, the template is there. It is only the only thing which one has to do is to check how far they have achieved and then continue from there. These new self-appointed liberation movements, those ones are individualistic, those are group, those are militias which took advantage and took power. An organization like, for example, let's take with the RPF or NRA in Uganda, NRA was not born out of political party. If the political party was there, it was almost a tribal party. For example, now you'll find that the NRM, which Museveni uses, was basically made of people of Museveni's tribe, and then people from Rwanda, and then the Hima people and the Tutsis. Even today, you'll find the army is dominated by the same people. To them in Uganda, they say it is historical because they are the one who fought the war. But they have sat on the country up to today. So you find the country is being dominated by the same group, the same people, because they took guns. And they cannot surrender the power. As I said, while the ANC is ready to be competed with, they cannot surrender power. What has made it interesting, for example, in Uganda, even the opposition itself, For example, you find the major opposition party is also led by former soldiers from the same region. Even the people who are competing within the opposition party to competing for power, they are also former soldiers from Western Uganda, almost from the same tribe. Only that recently, now they have just elected someone from a different region. That is the first time they have done it. But when you look at the body language of those who are competing, they have got that entitlement that they are the ones who fought, they are the ones who are generals, therefore the generals should, from the same region, should be the one to even compete for the national government. The same in Ethiopia, the same in Rwanda, the same in ZANU-PF.
Even
Mugabe
Sudan,
has given away, he has handed over to Mnangagwa. Mm-hmm. Mnangagwa is the same person from ZANU-PF.
Mm-hmm.
So the same level of entitlement. Again, it will be the same marginalization of the people from Matabele. These ones from the Shona group cannot think that from Matabele and also deserve to rule the country. Then you go to the Southern Sudan. Same problem. Ethnic, tribal, and then the party. All intertwined it together. So one small group dominating. Mm-hmm. So those are not liberation movements.
I see.
Those are just, one could say, the countries are under occupation from a group which just uses the guns which they have to conquer the country and then rule it for its own sake.
I see. Now, as you say, and many others have observed, these movements are incapable of change, internal change. So what do you foresee? Do you foresee another wave of liberation from these so-called liberation movements? How does this one end? Because they have killed all institutions in most of those countries. Their party is the same as the government, as we saw in ZANU-PF, it's the same government, the army, they're all merged together. So what next?
Douglas, in South Africa, before I go to them, let's compare. South Africa, since ANC took over 20 years now, from 1994, what they have achieved politically, I've already mentioned, it's clear. There is political freedom, there is a variety of political parties. Actually, today, the Communist Party, who were compatriots of ANC, they have just competed with ANC, and one of the officials was saying, we, in our democracy, we don't want to have a dominant party in this country to rule other countries. So we are obliged to compete with the ANC so that we enjoy the people enjoy the democracy. So politically, that one is there. Economically and socially, Douglas, I don't know what South Africans want which they have not got. Apart from the land question, which also is being dealt with, because it's a very contentious issue. That is the only contentious issue. Otherwise, the rest, water scattered almost all over South Africa in the most rural areas, electricity in all the rural areas which never even dreamt of electricity by 1994. Now almost every area you reach in South Africa is lighted.
I see.
Well, the current lady who is competing, Kosazana Nazuma, when she was Minister of Education, Minister of Health, she built primary health clinics almost every three villages have got a clinic.
I see.
So health, education, infrastructure, electricity, water, they are all almost 100%.
I see.
Compared to these other liberation organizations in Uganda. What is the status of electricity? What is the status of water? What is the status of infrastructure?
Unfortunately, we are out of time, Suleiman. We shall continue discussing this issue. That's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Suleiman, thanks very much for being on the show.
The pleasure is mine.
Yeah, our producer was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Adrius Regis. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.vuanews.com. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@vuanews.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.